This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The U.S. economy defies expectations yet again. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. economy grew at an annual rate of 3.3% in the fourth quarter of last year, according to the Commerce Department. That blew expectations out of the water. Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG, joins us to talk about it. Diane, the labor market was slowing down, lending was slowing down, and yet we get this blockbuster number. What do you make of that?
It is stunning. And, you know, really, it is a combination of factors. We had inflation cooling at its fastest pace, and this is in the wake of the most aggressive credit tightening cycles since the 1980s, outside of a war or recession. That's incredible. It also is a sign of not only a consumer that was resilient, but defiant. Consumers continued to spend, but they did push back on price increases, and that forced companies to, one, the slowdown in churn, and also finally companies were investing in training again, which they neglected a bit early on in the pandemic. And they also learned to use the technologies they deployed to go online early in the pandemic. And what's so important about the productivity growth aspect of this is that is the one way to get to justify higher incomes over time. And it's reminiscent of, we haven't seen anything like it since the latter part of the 1990s, when we actually saw income inequalities narrow.
There was one piece of economic data that might be a reason for pause. Inventories were up at both the wholesale and retail level in December. Is that something to wonder about?
The inventory situation is something we have to watch. That said, it was surprising to see the build in inventories we saw. That was a big upside surprise. But of course, higher inventories are justified if consumers keep spending.
Diane Swonk, chief economist, KPMG, thank you so much.
Thank you.
In another blow to Boeing, the Seattle Times is reporting that the panel that blew out of the MAX 9 plane was not installed by Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems, as previously alleged. Turns out it was installed by Boeing itself. That said, the FAA has approved an inspection process to get the MAX 9s flying again after being grounded for 3 weeks. But this will not end the crisis at Boeing, not even close. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The FAA says that the inspection and maintenance process it issued addresses the problems discovered after that Alaska Airlines accident. Inspectors found loose bolts, which are supposed to secure door plugs, sealing off unused emergency exits on MAX 9 jets. There are 171 MAX 9s grounded right now in the U.S. They're flown by Alaska and United Airlines. Alaska plans to get some MAX 9s back in the air tomorrow, United on Sunday. But crucially, the FAA made another decision that will affect Boeing for the foreseeable future. It denied the company's request to expand production of MAX planes from the current rate of 30 per month. The agency said it will increase oversight at Boeing facilities and will not approve an expansion until it's convinced quality control problems are resolved. The company's CEO, David Calhoun, was on Capitol Hill yesterday to speak with lawmakers. Afterward, Senator Maria Cantwell, who chairs the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, said she'll hold hearings to investigate Boeing's safety lapses. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
We'll get an update from the Census Bureau on the long-suffering housing market later today. The Bureau's releasing new home sales data. High interest rates, priced many potential buyers out of the market in 2023, making it a tough year for new residential construction, too. But interest rates have started to cool off, and builders may be starting the year with renewed confidence. Marketplace's Savannah Marr checked in with a few.
Just a few months ago, average 30-year fixed mortgage rates were hovering around 8%. But since mid-December, they've stayed under 7.
December normally isn't a huge month of sales, but it was the best we've had in over a year.
Clint Mitchell's company, Estridge Homes, does higher-end semi-custom builds in Indianapolis. He says this wave of new buyers includes people who've been on the sidelines of the market, waiting for more favorable rates.
Feels like there's some pent-up demand.
And Mitchell says he's getting a boost from still low inventory of existing homes. In Little Rock, Arkansas, demand for Lamonte Grolke's new builds has been steady.
We offer a price point that is appealing with high interest rates.
Between $200,000 and $250,000. But if rates continue to fall,
I think that's fuel on the fire.
Grolke is expecting a busy spring, the season when the housing market typically heats up. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Today is the birthday of poet Robert Burns. Now, poetry is not usually associated with, say, gross domestic product or retail sales, but in Scotland, centuries after his death, Burns' legacy is boosting Scotland's economy, both at home and abroad. The BBC's Cameron Mackay has more.
Robert Burns is Scotland's national poet, a renowned 18th century lyricist whose works continue to resonate around the world. Auld Lang Syne is one of his most famous songs, traditionally sung at midnight on New Year's Eve. Today is Robert Burns' birthday, Burns Night, and it's thought that up to 10 million people worldwide will celebrate by putting on Burns suppers. They'll sing songs, read poems, and eat a plate of haggis, neeps, and tatties. That's savoury pudding, rutabaga, and potatoes. Professor Cheedham Balam is organising one in Turkey.
Under the beautiful sun of the Mediterranean, we will be having whiskey and haggis. We also have the first translator of Burns' poems into Turkish.
Professor Murray Pittock from Glasgow University's Centre for Robert Burns Studies says more than 200 years after his death, Burns is still a symbol of Scottish identity.
Bringing Scots and Scots exiles together.
He says Robert Burns also generates a lot of money for the Scottish economy, around $255 million a year, according to a study he led in 2020. Professor Pittock says the research found his global brand is worth nearly $178 million and is steadily growing.
No doubt, there are sales and soft power potential.
Scottish Enterprise, Scotland's national economic development agency, is trying to use this year's Burns Night to attract more investment into the country. Ruben Aitken, the Managing Director of International Operations, says it's an ideal opportunity.
You can bring together folks from different sectors to make real connections that can unlock investment for Scotland. We use it as a way of opening doors at some trade missions by having some Scottish produce on the table.
Noel Campbell from the national tourism organisation Visit Scotland says one of the things that makes Robert Burns such a good cultural export is the issues he wrote about, like social justice and equality, are still relevant today.
With overseas visitors, they do look to these historic and cultural icons.
She says the legacy of Robert Burns is not only literary, it's as a global brand ambassador for Scotland. In Glasgow, I'm the BBC's Cameron Angus Mackay for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.